Welcome back to Pastoral Care and Marriage. And today we're going to talk about helping people discover their buttons. Now, what does that mean? Well, here's the fact. Everybody has buttons. Everybody has those things that pushes them to an angry moment or emotions. And somebody can be totally fine 1 minute. The next minute, angry as can be because their spouse said something or a friend said something or that pastor said something or their parents said something. And a lot of people's buttons are there, and sometimes they don't even know that they're there. Somebody in relationships, you can just push them. So today we're going to talk about that. Now, first, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about some of those emotional dependency issues that are part of the button issues as well. And it's just kind of information I think you need to have. And then what we're going to do is we're going to start doing like sort of a survey that you can do with your parishioners, you can do with people to sort of help them discover what their own personal buttons really are. First of all, let's just talk about inappropriate dependency, and people have called this codependency, and people have called this overwork sensitivities, and the symptoms of that are things like experience hurt over little things and read into the actions and statements of other people too much, like I know what they were really saying, when maybe you really don't. Expect the worst to happen in a relationship, you know, always sort of having dread. Assume others are more upset than they are. I saw her face, and I know that she was really mad. You did? I didn't see that. But I did. Frequently feel overwhelmed with emotions that are hard to control. And later even in this course, we're going to talk about some of those areas to help people with better boundaries, appropriate self-interest. And what appropriate self-interest is the ability to just feel confident in who God made the person. There's also the enmeshment issues in inappropriate dependency and codependency and whatnot. And where what happens is people are connected to each other and those boundaries get so broken down that you'll see people giving streams of unsolicited advice. They'll say, I know what you're thinking, or, you know, and because I know what you're thinking, I think you should do this. Or being so sympathetic that others take advantage of their forgiving spirit, or feeling responsible for making other people happy. You know, you can't make another person happy. I mean, they got to be happy because of who they are in God. Or placing others' guilt on themselves. You know, if I only would have made that phone call, if I only would have done that. Or excessively investing in others' feelings and emotions, where you know, someone feels a certain way, and then the response to that brings great emotional investment to another person out of that response to feelings, or just plain yelling, screaming to make a point. And you'll find there's a lot of control, manipulation, talking behind each other's back, and it seems like some people, they get into these dependencies where they call it a mesh. They're just like sort of not their own person. They're just sort of all combined together. You also find in inappropriate dependency the sort of weird understanding of recognition. Now, everybody sort of can do this at times with all of our weak moments, where we, instead of relying on who God made us to be, we sort of rely on each other for our self-worth. And if we're having a good day, it's because we think someone feels better about us that day. Now, I bring up all these three things to sort of introduce the buttons assessment, or finding out what people's buttons are, and to help them get self-awareness. Because these types of things are going to come up when you start helping people see who they really are. Now, later in this class, we're going to talk about boundaries and all those things. We're going to actually get back into some of these subjects. But I want to introduce it at least today, so that when we talk about the buttons and how to help people identify them, you'll see that a lot of these inappropriate dependencies come up when you start helping people identify their buttons. Okay. You know, I want to go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. And in chapter 1, verse 28, God blessed Adam and Eve, blessed the first humans, and said to them, Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. To me, this is the core foundational passage of pastoral care. Because in this verse are basically the topics that give somebody worth and in value as image bearers of God. There's the be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. That's that whole area of sexuality, marriage, children, parenting, all of those relationships that mean the most to us. And then bringing that sexuality, that parenting, that all of that, the fruit of which, we bring that into the world we live in. We bring it in such a way as to fulfillment, such a way as to raise families. Then the rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, that's that aspect of dominion or getting something done, being a steward over the earth that God has given us. Now, it's interesting, Dr. Freud, you probably heard of him before, he talks about these same two topics as well, but he talks about them from the fallen human nature. He says that most people are motivated, and he talks about sex, and he talks about aggression. And he defines them, those two areas, in that post-fall world, that sexual problems and all of that, and again, be fruitful and multiply would be the biblical word, but that whole piece of life, family relationships and all that, there's brokenness and anxiety and angst. That's how, and he interprets the be fruitful and multiply as the fallen humans. And then he would go, his second point that kind of starts all of his pastoral care, or it wouldn't be pastoral care, all of his counseling would be aggression. You know, and he would say to control and to rule. And he would take it that way. Whereas as Christians, we would go, it's to have dominion. So, now I bring this up because when we talk about the actual buttons, they will fit into the either be fruitful and multiply category, or they'll fit in that dominion. And if somebody has been hurt, abused, if expectations are different in any of those subjects relating to anything like that, you will find that people have a button and they will, you know, many times express anger and angst against one another. And when they come to you as a pastor, you're sort of just helping them to see what that is and understand and get self-aware of how not to beat each other up about each other's differences. So, now, what do I do? So, as a pastor, I might have somebody come and we'll talk, and I'll say, hey, would you like to find out what your buttons are in your relationships? And people are going like, my buttons? What is that? Well, I'll say, you know, you'll find that you have different expectations, and sometimes there'll be a conflict, and let's just talk about those areas of life that can create all sorts of buttons. Okay. Well, here's one, food. And back to the great, the cultural mandate, you know, in order to live and to have dominion, you have to eat. So, how about food? So you'll ask, let's say you're doing marriage counseling, hypothetically. And then you'll ask, so Susan, how is food thought of as you grew up? And let's say Susan said, well, we ate really healthy. And then Bob, Susan's husband, you know, no. We didn't eat healthy at all. Okay? So now you have two people married. One sort of was raised with everything was healthy. We went to Trader Joe's, which in America is a place with organic type food. And then Bob, he went to their family went to Aldi, which is sort of, you know, lower cost type food, not as much concern about, you know, the ingredients. Okay, so now someone gets married like that. Or let's say one of them ate for comfort growing up, you know, and that's food was a comfort. If something was hurting, the first thing you do is if give someone a cookie. And the other, food wasn't that way at all. So that you'll find that those are possible areas, and I call them buttons, where you relate with one another, and how someone thought of food would really potentially set each other off. Or one family, did you guys eat out or did you eat at home? Oh, we ate out most of the time. And then a lot of times in marriage, they marry someone who ate at home a lot. Or habits. What were your food habits like? Was it 3 meals a day, 1 meal a day? Was it 2 meals a day? Was it snacks all day? Or what's the experience at a table, at the dinner table? Oh, we didn't have an experience at the dinner table. We ate once a month at the dinner table. Oh, we ate every day at the dinner table together. And then you'll have two people. We ate every day at the dinner table. Both people in a marriage ate every day. But in one home, it was fighting and putting each other down and giving each other a hard time. While the other home, it was all pleasant conversation and very mannerly. Can you imagine getting married and just over food, there are all these possible things to set each other off? Or were there spiritual practices practiced at the dinner table? In our family, we read the Bible and prayed every day, it felt like, of my childhood. And that's what happened to me. But what if I married someone and they didn't do it that way? And then you get married or you're talking and then you say, okay, it's time to read the Bible. And the person said, what? We never read the Bible. Why are we reading it now? It's because that's what we do. Why do you do that? And maybe you marry another Christian and that other Christian, they read the Bible at bedtime. And you learn to read the Bible as a family at the dinner table. See, and now what you have is these different expectations. And then what happens if you have those emotional dependency issues that we just talked about, then people are trying to secretly control each other through expectations and buttons. Let's take another one, discipline. Discipline, how someone understands discipline is how they think about authority. And if somebody had a different attitude of discipline that was applied to them growing up, and then they get married or they're in a relationship, they're at work, those expectations come forward even in your church, someone's later life. I'll give you some examples. Okay, let's say somebody was disciplined, but in their home is very permissive. The kids got away with everything. You know, often the permissive child marries the strict child, the strict parent whose parenting style was strict. So now you have a young couple have their first child, and one of them is like, you know what, just let them be, they'll be fine. And the other is like, we can't let them be, they're going to be rotter someday. And those two different styles, or in the strict area, you know, a lot of people were raised with spanking. And some people were raised without spanking. Okay? And those are big controversial issues. But when you're pastoring someone, you're going to find those discipline styles come in someone's background and they replay what they themselves experienced. Or do they have a balanced discipline? A little permissive and a little strict. Or, and here's something else to deal with. What happens if someone somehow had abusive discipline? Or even abusive, and I put this in the area of discipline, in some ways it could be its own slide abuse. Maybe there's just plain abuse, verbally, physically, sexually. And you bring that out. Those, and on this one too, on the abuse, you'll often find that you can't, as a pastor, either you don't have the time or the expertise to undo some of the hurt and the sadness that was brought in some of those areas. But as you ask people about these things from their past and about their life now, what you'll find is you'll get to help people be self-aware of those buttons that they have in their life. Well, here's another one, spiritual attitudes. You know, now, you'll find that maybe both were raised Christian, or maybe they were both raised religious. Well, then you can talk. Well, what level of practice? What I like to do is get a whiteboard out. So I will write down, well, what level of practice? You know, did you go to church? Was it once a week? Was it once a month? What about level of leadership was modeled? You know, some people, one person might have said, we had a really close pastor who is very encouraging in all our lives. Well, my background is we went to the Catholic Church and there was a priest and I don't even know his name. Or what about the home practices? Were there home practices? What were they like? Or then there's like, did you have a bad experience with churches? You know, or, yeah, we left church when I was 8 years old because the church is always asking for money. And then someone else says, well, no, we loved our church and we love to support our church. Questions like, when did you begin a personal relationship with Christ? And how did that work itself out? What role does Christianity play in your life now, your marriage, your family? Did you get an out-of-balance view of Christianity? All of those questions become very important questions as you look at helping people identify their buttons. And if you take someone through these questions in the next presentation, we're going to actually keep going now, call that part two. What you'll help people do is get self-aware of where those inappropriate dependencies are, where those buttons are, where they fly off the handle at each other. So, as a pastoral care provider, you can lead people to that clarity, that understanding, and how to love each other more if you can help them understand and listen to where they have been.